Episode 428, June 24th, 2019.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Yeah, I saw the lovely Rob Spielak Thursday night.
Doing what?
We were at the Sarah Fraser Bachelorette Party Live podcast at AMP. He was recording the audio, and we got to watch some male strippers, so that was good times.
It was?
The Men in Motion.
It was good times?
Yeah, that was just part of it. They weren't, like, getting fully naked or anything, so it wasn't like it was, you know, too weird. I had a good time. I did this newlywed game.
Oh, that's all I know if you were, they had you doing something.
I was stripping, yes.
So, hey, we had a good show.
Yeah, we had a great show Saturday night at the Bright Box in Winchester, Virginia, our most attended venue. That we were there now 6 times this year. We've been there like 25 times probably.
Yeah, we'll pull back the curtain a little bit. So I think I don't know how many consecutive sellouts we have, but we have just been destroying that room.
We definitely sold out both Halloween, both Christmas, both Valentine's Day, and the 90s one. I wasn't there, but those both sold out.
Packed, right? Yeah. So this one, the second show, 4 tickets sold. Mm-hmm. And the first show, we end up having about, what, 90, between 90 and 100?
It only seats like 115, so yes. But about, 90 to 100.
And they had to cancel the second show because they had Harley Week?
Some Harley, get together yearly thing. It's a moving celebration of Harley owners.
They actually talked to there's a lady in charge of Harley Week down there, I guess. And they asked her, what show should they put on? And they gave her a bunch of options. And one option they gave her was the Murder Mystery. She goes, "Oh, that sounds good." Meanwhile, you know damn well bikers don't like.
Maybe they have women with them. I don't know. Look, they purposely gave us this weekend, thinking we might add a show, a third show.
Yeah, and not only that, but they said that the locals wouldn't come downtown because they hated Biker Week so much.
And it was also beautiful weather. But anyway, so we only did one show. But you know what? I realized in the last, year or so, it's harder for me to enjoy the murder mystery because I get caught up in too much and what went right or wrong and
yeah,
maybe to a fault, maybe not, who knows. But I really enjoyed this one. The only mistake was I actually made it. Now I caught it. Justin caught it at the same
time.
What
was it? I don't even remember.
In the beginning of the second act, I'm supposed to call for the police, and then Justin says, "We don't need the police. Yeah. I'm a judge." So he started to, as I remembered it, he was egging me, leading me. It's just a meaningless thing. It's not really important.
Well, he's holding the script, which helps.
Yeah, it does help. Yes, but it's not a.
There was.
I loved every second of the show.
One thing I don't know if I would consider this a mistake. Actually, let me say this before I talk about Eric. Before the show, we've had this happen before, but in walks a 10-year-old with his parents. And it looked like an older brother, but the older brother was born in 1998. So he's either 20 or 21, and I knew that because, I'll tell you, he ended up, I needed his email in order to give him a prize,
right.
And that was in his email. So I assume that was class of 98, which means, of course, he's either 20 or 21.
Yes.
Right? So.
Or your bride.
Right. So, but they walk in with this kid. And I always hate this because I know they're going to be pissed. They came all the way out. They have a kid with them, right? So the first thing I did is I walked over to them and I go, "Hey, listen, just so you'll know, this show is, it's rated R, right?" And the mom looks like, oh, like I knew it wasn't okay.
Right.
Then I went back to the manager, who we love, Josh, and I go, hey, do you guys say that it's over 18? And we looked at it, sure enough, it did.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the parents end up walking out, and they're talking to me. I go, look, guys, whatever you want to do is fine, but I'm not, you know, I just am a performer. Here's the manager. And, of course, the lady goes, it's not on the website, and, you know, unfortunately it is. So he shows them, and she goes, oh, okay, I'm sorry. So they have somebody come there, and they hand-deliver this kid to a babysitter while they're at the show.
Yeah. I thought they were going to leave.
I thought they were going to be pissed, too, right?
Yeah.
Well, this makes me feel so good. The show was so good. They had such a fucking great time, and at the end, they end up winning the tickets. And by the way, you know what the name of their team was?
I've forgotten already.
It was SOOKMAHDIQUE. Suck My Dick was the name of their team.
Cleverly spelled.
So they had a 10-year-old that couldn't hear bad language, but then they named their team Suck My Dick as soon as...
I like them.
But, they end up having a blast. I apologize profusely. Obviously, they're going to come back. They won free tickets. So that was an all-time turnaround.
There was a moment, Robbie, where I was watching Joe get more frustrated. And it was I would have been frustrated, but him getting frustrated was entertaining me. So this is our karaoke theme show. So before the show, we're obviously at the Murder Mystery, we hand out roles. You know, we try to get people to volunteer. But then we have people, you know, sing karaoke. We all know that the famous Robbie story with the bad touch.
And that's a little stressful for me because, I mean, we've never really had any problems handing out roles. But getting people to sing is hard.
Yes.
And we really need it in order to make the show the length that we need it to be. And so me finding three people I thought was going to be difficult. So I found somebody to sing. And then, of course, this happened.
So we have this software. You can download any song, basically. So Joe goes over to her, and she says, he goes, what do you want to sing? She goes, oh, you know, I like everything, whatever you think.
She said, you pick. I like country. I like R&B. I like rock.
Right.
I like everything. So, I'll sing what you say, and I like everything.
So she's this, like, you know, larger black woman, so we think it's probably funny if she sings country. So you go over to me, and we talk, and you say, what about Wagon Wheel?
No, the first song was Old Town Road, which is probably the hottest song right now. Yes. As a matter of fact, when we met Eric Woodworth and Tommy Cimbazzo at the Park and Ride, because we all rode down together, Eric pulled up, and if you go on my Twitter, by the way, you can see what Eric looks like now. He's got a mullet, and he was wearing these wraparound shades.
Go to Die Laughing Productions Instagram or Facebook.
And he was playing Old Town Road. He was playing that song. He had cranked to 10, pulled up. That's the song that was on Old Town Road.
So I see Joe walk over to this woman and say Old Town Road, and then the look on your face.
She's like, I don't really know it. I go, okay, not familiar.
Again, this is the woman said, I'll sing anything. So then,
and I gave her literally the most popular song out right now. Okay.
And then we came back and we said, what about Wagon Wheel? You go back.
I don't know it. I don't know Wagon Wheel. I'm not really comfortable.
See Joe,
with
it. He's like, okay.
I'll sing anything, but I don't know the first two songs that everybody knows. Yes. By the way, I don't even like that kind of music. I know both those songs.
Yes. So then it comes back, and they have like songs that are like pre-downloaded that are just like the super popular standards, karaoke standards. I look, Sweet Caroline. All right. Everybody knows it. Easy. You go over to her.
I don't know it. Not familiar with it. No. I'll sing anything, and I like every single type of music, but I won't sing the three songs. And I'm getting fucking furious.
So finally, I think you said, just ask her, who does she like, a band.
Well, hold on. I go. Tell me what's in your, what are you listening to? What's the last thing you listen to? She goes, the last thing I listened to was Saturday Breakfast. It's a TV show. I'm going to fucking strangle her, okay? Now, Rob ends up fucking me, and I'm going to tell you, you probably don't even know this,
okay.
But finally, she goes, I like Queen. I go, perfect. How about Bohemian Rhapsody? And I walk over, and I go, download Bohemian Rhapsody. And Rob will tell you a little bit later, she tried to fucking change that, and Rob put the kibosh on it, which I appreciate. But then we have the karaoke contest, and somebody's supposed to win, and we're not giving tickets away. We're going to give them a koozie. Of which I have one. You see where I'm going with this? We have one, okay? So there, you say, all right, we kick the one guy out. And he's saying, all right, give it up for this person, give it up for the other person. And it's very close. Rob looks at me, I look away, I go, I'm not deciding this. You know what I mean? You decide it. So then he had him do it again, and finally I said, okay, it's give it to the one girl, right? The girl who I couldn't stand because...
Yeah, the one girl, she didn't sing that well, but she had a lot of energy, and the guys came on stage, and it was an entertaining performance. The other girl was attractive. She sang Commodores, Easy Like Sunday Morning, and she's going to actually sing pretty well.
So what do you think Rob does, Robbie? What's the worst thing he can do?
He doesn't give her the prize.
He gives it to both of them. I have one fucking koozie. So then, now this girl is not the kind of person, she's going to want her fucking koozie. So I give it to the other girl, and I give her a business card, and now I have to fucking mail this girl. Yeah.
I got the vibe that they didn't give a shit. That's why I said that. They were like, we don't care. That's the vibe I was getting from
because
them.
The one girl I gave the koozie to, and the other girl I go, hey, here's my card. Reach out to me, give me an address, and I'll mail you a koozie. So that's
No, that's on you. I never would have said that. I would have said, come to our next show, we'll hand it to you.
Okay, so you won this prize. In order to collect it, you need to buy another ticket. You know you can't do that.
It's not, we're not, they don't know
you're
getting
a prize. Responsibility for
they didn't sign up for this.
No, we said you win a koozie.
Okay.
We said it.
Robbie, what do you think?
I would have committed and given it to one person.
All right.
Well, no, but after Rob ties it, then what am I supposed to do?
I'd have given the other one an Academy Award.
You have to give both of them the prize.
Yeah, and by the way, prize is, who the fuck wants it? You know how many times I've used a koozie in my life? hey, Rob and I are both currently drinking out of cans. Neither one of us have a fucking koozie on it.
You guys gave koozies away at your wedding. Guess that wasn't your idea?
That's, yeah, good point. Hey, by the way.
Why didn't he give him one of those? Yeah. How would Katie react it?
Oh, speaking of that, Katie, there's another neighbor story, which I'm going to tell a little bit
better.
By the
way, a lot of great feedback from the neighbor call last week.
Yeah, we're not going to call them again, but I think I doubled down again with the neighbor. But we'll get there. But, hey, I don't know. Did I tell the story on air about the kid who... He messaged me and asked me and you too, I think, right? If we would help him or if we could be interviewed for a Dan Ninen documentary.
Oh, that I don't believe we've talked about this now.
Robbie, do you know about this?
No. What are you talking about?
Okay. So this kid emails me, and I think he reached out to you on Twitter, right, or Facebook?
I believe he emailed me and he direct messaged me on Twitter.
And by the way, what you said, where you ranked it, he didn't dunk a basketball, that's in the documentary.
yeah, because he wanted me to comment, and I said something funny, right?
Yeah, it was funny, right. So he messaged me, said, hey, will you do this? And I go, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, what the fuck am I doing? Why would I enter back into this guy's world? And then I looked at this kid's footprint, and it wasn't very big.
You say kid, he's like a teenager or something, right?
I think, when I see his picture, you know, he seems like, I don't know, we can ask him, right? But
he's a young man.
He looks young, right? And he said, hey, will you do this? And I thought better of it, and I go, hey, look, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but the more I thought about it, this doesn't really sound like something that I'm interested in, because... He can be particularly, you know, venomous.
And we haven't heard from him in a while.
We haven't heard from him, right. So it's, you know, I mean, we moved on. And if it was interesting, yes, but it's a little terrifying to have him upset with you, right?
Yes. It's exhausting.
So I don't think about this. He came back and he asked me a question and I answered it. And he said, can I use that? And I go, absolutely, sure. Go ahead and use it, right? So he messages me on Saturday. And he says, hey, just thought you might want to know. I've done the documentary. Here's the link to it. And I look at it, and it is fucking awesome.
Really?
I kid you not.
How long is it?
It's like 38 minutes long.
Okay.
And it's so good and well done. And I don't know if that's the kid who is voicing it. I'm not sure about that. But because it sounds like a guy who's older than him.
Right.
So I watch, I'm like, man, this is really good, right?
It's on YouTube?
It's on, we'll get there. It was on YouTube, right?
Oh, boy.
So I gave it to, by the way, Justin saw it. Justin's like, wow, that's really good. By the way, this kid did another documentary about this guy named Frank. His last name is D-U-X. And he's the one who started the Kumite, the Karate Kumite or whatever. That
not the comedy competition that I'm 1 in 7
Yes, not that. Yes. You're like the guy who played Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds who got killed in Bloodsport. But
thank you.
It's based on that movie. Bloodsport. Sorry. The movie Bloodsport is based on this tournament.
This real tournament.
Yeah. And Justin goes, hey, I watched the Dan 9 documentary. It's awesome. And then I watched this other documentary. It's excellent. And when I looked at it, it had like, he obviously just put it out. It had like 500 thumbs up. It had like 4 thumbs down. It's.
You sent me the link. What's it called? The Worst Man in Comedy or something?
So I don't remember the name of it, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I sent it to everybody, and then when people went to watch it, other than Justin, who got a chance to see it. But
I think it's called The Most Hated Man in Comedy.
Something like that. But none of you guys watched it in time to see it, because it currently, if you go to, I have the link. I guess it doesn't matter if I send it out. But anyway, I looked at the link. It now says, video unavailable. This video is no longer available due to a copyright claim by Dan Ninen. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, I don't know what that means. I guess I don't necessarily understand what copyright means. Because, like, YouTube, you're right. They can't, like, you can't find, like, a Led Zeppelin song on YouTube, although I think you can. But there are certain people that it's difficult to find them on YouTube because they don't allow their intellectual property to be published. Robbie might know more about this. And I guess he used, not I guess, I saw him, he used some of Dan Ninen's comedy, but that was...
But I don't think he has intellectual... If it's just some gig that he's doing, some corporate gig, there's video of it. I don't think that he
I don't
owns
know.
The rights to that.
Well, it's funny because I messaged the kid, and I was... I say the kid. Who knows? He could be 35. I guess we're going to find out. Because I said, hey, do you mind if we call you? And I feel bad. Here's why. Because when he asked for my help, I said no.
Now we want to talk to him.
And then as I want to talk to him, he said, no problem. He'll talk to us right away. So this kid, I say kid. By the way, he's from Canada.
Are we in this thing? Are we featured?
We are all. I'm in it more than you, but we are all over it. They talk about him wanting to fight me to the death. They show there's clips from us on the Mike O'Mara show. There's clips from us on the on 98 Rock talking about it. There's clips from me on Nobody Like Onions. When he interviewed that, we're all
is
over.
Is there anybody
this
from the Isle of Man? Is our guest from the Isle of Man?
No, interview? But they talk about when he wanted to fight me on the Isle of Man. They talk about him punching the guy in the face. They show all these things about, you know, all the contradictions in the different articles. Yes. And all this stuff. I mean, it's really, I think why the reason that I, so Dan actually later on, and you'll see this at the end, he goes on to this show where he is actually himself. And that's a guy who's struggling with criticism and not really being his real self. And he's on this panel with 3 different psychologists or whatever. Now, he still can't exactly make himself vulnerable. He still doesn't kind of really come clean.
He doesn't 100% commit to the truth.
No, he doesn't. Right. He doesn't. But you do see that he's kind of like, okay, well, here's where I am now. Mm-hmm. So how do I make this successful? And so you see this trajectory where it goes, and it's really, really good. But of course, now it can't be seen by anyone. And I'm wondering, I guess we'll talk to the kid. So I gave Robbie his phone number and his Skype. So, I guess what we'll do is we'll reach out to this kid, and then at the other side of the break, we'll...
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll take a break. We'll try to come back and reach the man behind the Dan Ninen
documentary.
Yeah,
stop saying kid. That's probably rude.
Be right back.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions, Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. Ooh, this time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not... Actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars 2 princes, Mr. Jones, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charm kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Next performance, July 21st at the DC Improv. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit dielaughingproductions.com.
The Robin Joe Show.
All right. So do you have this? Do you know his first name?
I think it's O-K-I. Oki.
Oki. So let's give him a call on Skype here.
He's waiting for our call. Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not a kid, guys.
Hey, nice.
I'm listening.
How old are you, bud?
I'm 27.
Okay.
I look really young. So, like, I mean, like, I'll go to, we have the LCBO here, right? Like, that's the beer store. We can't get it at convenience stores. So they'll always ID me, you know, because I look like I'm 16, but I'm 27.
Yeah, but what's the drinking age in Canada? Like 12?
I don't know. It's 19. So it's a little bit. I think it's 21 in the States, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we're also old, so you know.
You've been drinking for a long time here.
So
can I ask this real quick? Was that pretty accurate the way that I built it up? I treated you unfairly, so I want to apologize.
I was actually kind of thrilled that you watched it to the end. So you saw that. Because I was actually quite proud of that ending. Once I found that clip of that Daily Helper, the thing where he goes on the show with the psychologist, it really like just blew me away. It felt like I was like in the fourth dimension for a second there. It's like, how does this thing exist? And Joe, you saw it, right? Like that was just crazy the way that they grilled him, those psychologists. And they weren't accepting that he was saying, oh, I'm bullied and this in, that's just, he was rationalizing all of his
100% misdeeds. Yes. He found a way to still, it's justify isn't it, but you have to have some sort of escape hatch in order to behave this way. You can't just say, I'm a narcissist and I have horrible insecurity and I'm a pathological liar and a potentially psychopath, sociopath. You can't say that, right? So you have to say,
and not be sympathetic.
Right. So he still found a way to make himself into a sympathetic, by the way, everybody does that. You know, that's not just exclusive to Dan, but it was kind of cool to see.
Oh, yeah.
But can I say this? If you really want to redeem yourself, you can't do that. You have to say, let me tell you something. I didn't feel very good about myself. And as a result, when people would come at me, my choices were either to accept their criticism, which I really couldn't. I wasn't built to do that.
Right.
Or I could lash out. And I lashed out unreasonably. And I'm sorry about that. And the truth is that I was insecure about my comedy. So I got ultra defensive. So rather than try to say, all right, well, how do I gain these people's respect? I discredited them. Like, there's a way.
There's no way he's doing that. So how did... It's Oki. Is that how we're saying your name correctly? I want to get it right.
Yeah, it's like O-K-I. Like, yeah, Oki.
Oki it is.
Like, I'm not exactly sure myself. When I started doing these things, like you were just talking about the Frank Dukes video, the Kumite video. That was just like a joke for me and my friends. And then it blew up. And I had these weird Japanese commercials in front of all of my old videos, which actually I unlisted them. And I just stuck. So I have this commercial at the beginning that says OKI.
Gotcha.
And that's like, I guess that's what I go by now.
How did Dan get on your radar?
Oh, because I saw the Nobody Likes Onions podcast on Reddit, r cringe, probably like in 2017, I think. So I wanted to do this video actually last year, but then I held back on it. And I return to it now. Now I'm almost like I'm kind of regretting it because now it's off. And I got a strike on my channel, which actually jeopardizes my channel.
Yeah, what happened?
Like, I get two more of those things. I can lose everything.
And well, hold on. So Rob's, Dan, he said what happened. But also, can it be fixed? Can you, because you don't want to take, because obviously it took you a long time to put this together. You don't want it to be for nothing.
It took 2 months.
I feel bad for not being a part of it because I'd love to talk about Dan, and it sounds like you're extremely talented.
But I'm adding this to it, the new one.
There you go. All right. Yes. So we'll talk to you when you do the next version. Now, is there something you have to take out that makes it legal?
Okay. So are we on air right now?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No,
we are on the air, and I didn't say we're on the air because you asked me if it was going to be live in the emails, and I told you yes. But yes, you are on the air.
We can. This is just to our chat room, but when we put it up for download later, we can edit anything out if you feel.
Yeah, there's something you're not comfortable with that you said, we can edit it out.
Okay. Oh, no, that's perfect. That's perfect. Because like when I was listening to it, you guys were going on break. I heard a little bit of the music, then you guys called me, or maybe it was a Skype music. So I wasn't completely sure. And I have two friends recording this for me, so I can. But you guys, you're putting it out as a podcast. Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
So what was the last question? What can I do right now, and why did it happen? It was something along those lines.
Yeah. What was the legal issue What's the legal issue that he's claims violation?
Okay, so Dan can keep striking my video if he wants to. YouTube is very vulnerable to copyright trolls, like, or people who maliciously use the copyright strike system. And abuse the copyright strike system. Like, for example, there's musicians who some random company in, you know, wherever, Ukraine, they license a song using this person's music with some other vocals on it, and then they can just hold over the person who has, like, 65 million view video of their song, of their own music, because they licensed their music. And another thing, do you see, it's kind of complicated the way I'm
are you,
it here,
is it,
but
it, it's, sorry, is Dan basically saying, hey, this is copyright infringement, and then YouTube, rather than, they don't have a team of lawyers to investigate your documentary, they just say, all right, well, we're not going to mess with it. If somebody complains, we'll just take it down, so they, we don't have to worry about it legally?
They stay out of it. They completely stay out of it. So I, for example, I woke up to that strike, an email saying, yo, your video's down. The claimant is Dan Ninen. So then I go and I can contest that, and that's what I did. And I said, this is under fair use. This is just criticism and commentary. But that message I sent just goes straight back to Dan Ninen in 10 days, and it's up to him whether or not to allow it or deny it. And I guess the only thing that he has that's solid right now is, yes, I used his comedy to show, and it was just in passing, and Joe saw the video too. It's like,
but it's also available for free public consumption. Does that matter? I don't know the law, but it seems like if you are
on like every single website, because Dan has a Vimeo, he has a Daily Motion, he has like, it's just hosted on every single website, and you can find it so easily. But for him, it's this, it's because I criticized him. So even if I re-upload this video, without his comedy, without video of his comedy, he could take it down because I showed his website, because I showed his picture.
And he'll keep doing that.
I don't know exactly what to do.
Are you going to put it up on just your own website or another,
well, that's what I'm thinking now, is that I'm going to have my own. Well, I have to. So this is a learning experience, because like, I'm not even doing this full time yet. Like, this is something that I'm doing now. I have like, around, I think 12 or 11 videos so far, you know, and I put them out pretty sparingly.
I think you should make Dan Ninen videos full time. That's your full time job.
And every time you get 10 views, and then it's taken down. No, but what I would do is, once it's up, let us know and we'll help you push it so people can see it. It's definitely worth seeing.
Absolutely.
It's definitely worth seeing. It's actually really, really, really well done. And
now,
by the way,
we know a lot of people that will drive traffic to
100%. And the other thing that you need to know, Oki, is that if we didn't like it, we would fucking say it. Believe me, we spent a lot more time shitting on people than praising them. And it's God, it was really, really good.
I'm so sad that I didn't watch it yet.
I was worried about that. I was like, oh, shit, what are they going to think? Maybe I fucked up some weird particular thing in the comedy industry. Like,
did Dan know that you were going to do this?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Did Dan know you were shooting this documentary?
Well, because your tweet is in it, Rob. Because I messaged you. I said I sent out a tweet with your name in it, and you answered back to me, and you said you gave me a list of things about Dan. I think it's something about
the dunker basketball.
He doesn't make $350,000 a year doing comedy. He doesn't charter private planes, whatever. But yeah, so he saw that because I sent a tweet to everybody. Like anybody mentioned in that Nobody Likes Onions podcast. Like I had a list going, And there was also this other thing on his like blog that I don't even think he knows he has anymore that I found, where it's just the initials. And like I had to figure out who the initials were. And then I found like Nick NM is Nick Mullen, and
yes.
AK is Andy Klein. Uh-huh. And like I was asking a bunch of people on Twitter. And so I was making enough noise that like I must have popped up in his Google mentions. And, you know, because I'm so sure that he has like Dan Ninen, just like anytime someone like types it into anything, into their in a text message, he'll find out.
Yeah, because as a matter of fact, the first time I ever heard of Q score, remember when he was shitting on us because our Q score wasn't high enough. So
are you fascinated by him in a way? His craziness?
I think I might be a little bit on like the spectrum or something, because I get into like I'll find a certain subject and I have to know everything about it. So that like that's just what I do, and like that's what I've done since I was a kid. So it's like kind of easy to start with these YouTube videos.
I like it.
Yeah, but
so Dan Nine is just something that I one night I stumbled upon that podcast on Our Cringe. I watched that, and then I like looked up every single thing like I could find about him. And especially when I was making this video as well, I returned to it and like I combed it out and like had documents upon like in my Google documents. Like, but yeah, it's just like the way I'm inclined is like, I just got to.
Yeah, but that's not exclusive to you, because I mean, it is fascinating. And it's almost like, you know, you're not a serial killer, but there's a reason that all those movies are successful, because this type of outlier behavior is fascinating. And to watch somebody to this degree behave in the manner that he has, it's clearly, I mean, it's also a story that you don't see. There are people that kind of fake it till you make it. That's a normal thing. We actually know people like that, but not to this degree. And also what's unique about him is usually people faking it till they make it don't have funds.
Right.
So he was backed by whatever, and who knows if his family was providing the money. Probably. I mean, what else is he going to do? But he had money order to whatever he was. And he also was smart enough to figure out how to get exposure. Yeah, because first of all, he definitely looks younger than he is. That's the truth.
Yes.
So that's part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In addition to that, he knew all these different mechanisms to insert himself in these periodicals like the Wall Street Journal and Forbes and all this stuff. But, you know, it's almost like there is a different level of, what's the word I'm looking for? Look, you'll tell a story and maybe you'll exaggerate it because you want to impress the listener. Some people might do that on air, right, to make it funnier or whatever, or on stage. But you do have to understand, if you're going to the Wall Street Journal and saying you're 35 and you're 55, you're running a risk that's way bigger than you saying somebody was angrier than they actually would in a story that you're telling, right?
Yes.
So it's almost like the consequences never, ever entered into his head. Only, how do I drive my exposure? And it didn't matter. He could be in Better Homes and Gardens talking about, you know, how to plant peppers. Do whatever, right? There was one time when he's a Christian, and then another one, he's an atheist. And
he's
one time
learning to play guitar. He's a great musician.
And it's like,
he's dunking basketballs.
But then I figure if you're smart enough to be able to make it into all those different vehicles, you would be smart enough to realize, oh shit, this house of cards is going to come toppling down one day. And that seems to be, I guess, the narcissism or whatever that he.
Yeah, that's where it gets.
Couldn't
see past
it.
He shoots himself in the foot. And when I was looking up narcissism a lot while making this, and that is the lack of foresight is really telling. Where it's everything's about this moment, and everything's about present appearances and what people in this moment think about you and how you. So it almost doesn't really matter to him that he's lying in all of these, to all of these different people, because I guess he's missing the remorse, the guilt, the something, and he's just so in the now rather than, I don't know, looking at himself.
This is what I would do,
seeing,
okay.
But yeah.
Because we've always said that a Dan Ninen documentary would be fascinating.
Yeah, and it is.
And it is. So you've got the ball rolling.
He is a fascinating guy, yeah.
I think you need to take a step back and maybe try to find some funding, whether, you know, some bigger wigs in the documentary, you know, film industry, and try to make this a 2-hour thing and try to get some famous people attached to it that might have can speak to this. Because I think he is a subject that I think on Netflix documentary people would watch that,
oh,
and it would
course.
Be fascinating. And you've done the hard part. You've got it rolling. You clearly have, you know, 30, 35 minutes of great footage.
And there's a lot of things that you may not know that you've missed. You know, after he punched that guy in the at the DC Improv, do you know he was on the Tony Kornheiser show the next week?
You might not know who that is, but
no,
yes,
what,
yeah.
No,
well, he's a co-host.
I have the clip for you if you need it.
He's a co-host.
Oh,
of,
yeah, okay, yes.
Sorry, pardon the interruption, which basically it invented the new form of how, you know, news is broadcast and, to some degree, right? Pardon the interruption. It created that little menu that's on the side, and I mean, it was revolutionary, and him and Mike Wilbon are the co-hosts, and Dan Ninen was on his show talking about punching that guy. And, of course, even then, Dan didn't get himself. So you'll hear that when you're on there, because Tony Kornheiser was building him up as a hero, because finally somebody stood up to these bullies, you know.
Yeah, and he was spinning it that he stood up to the heckler or to the guy tweeting negative things.
Well, that's how Tony Kornheiser did it. But then,
which is incorrect.
Dan was afraid of a lawsuit, so all he was just so remorseful and apologetic because, you know, he was faced with a reality. So then you didn't even get even what he wanted was to be viewed in the way that Tony Kornheiser was viewing him, and he couldn't even enjoy it.
I think you go big, Oki. You make this a 2-hour thing, and then we have the world premiere at the Isle of Man. A big, huge
I
view.
I can't go to the Isle of Man.
Yes.
What if Ninen shows up?
Hey, even better.
He'll come behind you and
yes.
give you.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. Let's keep in touch. And, you know, anything we can add in the future to help this or you know, send people your way or point them to wherever people can see this on your website. Just keep us posted. And, of course, when the podcast comes out, we'll hit you up. Thank you, Oki.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Take care, Matt. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good dude. I liked him.
Oh, no, he's awesome. Yeah. And by the way, I'm going to give you his email because I need him to send you that documentary so you can watch it.
I need to see it.
Because,
yeah.
Oh, man, it's really good. But you will see that it. There's a lot left out that we know about.
Well, I mean, even if we remembered everything, there's still stuff that
that's
we forgot.
Like I keep forgetting. I mean, we'd have to go back and listen to all of our episodes even to try to remember everything. You know, you did that show with him at the Fire Hall. He came on our show one time. I mean, just
opening the Clean Comedy Club where you had to ride your bike there.
Yes. And we have a friend who was selling Cokes out of a trash can or whatever. Yeah, that was a... There's a lot.
Mm-hmm, the thing he said to Robert Schimmel's brother when he wrote him the note about after he died, your brother was a dick. I mean, anyway, there's thousands of things. Anyway, let's take a break. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob looped... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
Hi, this is Dan Ninen, and you're listening to The Rob and Joe Show.
I forgot about that, too.
Yeah, when you told me how good it was, I was upset that I didn't want to watch it because I was mad that I didn't, you know, interview with this guy. But at least I got on there, you know, some tweets or whatever, some interviews.
We're in there because in some things I even forget about. You know, we went on the Mike O'Mara show and we talked about him. I forgot about that. There's video of that.
There are people in the comedy world that probably know us, you know, that through that more than anything. Not that we've had some huge reach that we would be known for anything.
What I'm the most known for is fighting with Tom Arnold and Dan Ninen.
Yes, that's probably true. We think they know about you. You fighting with Sarah Symington on 98 Rock?
That's nah, more probably me. Not. Probably not.
Back to the show. We had a good week on 98 Rock last week. We were all over the network. We were dominating, Joe.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when this show comes out, I assume it'll be out Wednesday. I will have been on the air that morning, and I'm going to be on the morning of Thursday and Friday. Actually, I think, do you have a show this Friday?
I'm at Magoobie's all weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Because I know they need somebody for Friday afternoon, so I guess it's not going to be you.
Can't do that. Is Keith Mills, is the final week, or was it Friday was the last day?
No, his last day is this coming Friday, and if you listen to the bonus show, you'll hear what that has to do with me.
Yeah, it's a huge, he's a legend in the
dude, I went to
Baltimore
his,
broadcasting.
I went to his going away party. The Ravens gave him a watch. You know, it was, you know.
Like a nice watch.
He said it weighed more than the helmet the Navy gave him. I mean, it's for real.
What do you think it costs?
I don't know. I mean, I'll bet it's super expensive.
$5,000?
That wouldn't surprise me. But also, it's maybe the watch didn't cost $5,000, but now that watch is worth $5,000.
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
It's a one-of-a-kind watch. They probably did some stuff to it that, yeah.
The Orioles gave him a jersey that said Mills on the back with the number one.
Nice.
And, Towson gave him something, and I mean, just it was the governor gave him a commemorate. What do you call it? Condemnation? Is that what it's called? Or
sure.
Commendation.
Commendation.
He was condemned. That's it.
He was condemned by the entire city of Baltimore.
He can't stay in the state anymore. Yeah.
What is your father-in-law Frank getting him?
I don't know.
Friends back in the day.
But and I can't say where because I think it's private. But there is a party this Friday for him, a going away party, which Frank and I will be going to together.
Yeah, I am, unfortunately, due to my Magoobies gig, I probably won't be able to make that.
You probably could make it.
I'd have to leave right away.
I don't think you would. We'll talk after the show. I think you could pretty easily make it and then make it there. What time does the first show start at Magoobies on?
I think it's 7:30.
Yeah.
It's 7.
Yeah.
I think it's 7:30.
Okay, yeah. You definitely could make it.
Okay.
So we can discuss that at a later time. But by the way, so last week we had my neighbors on, and it wasn't my neighbor Ryan who I had potentially pissed off. It was my other neighbors that I love that I had potentially pissed off. Actually, Katie's going to want to be in here for this. Hold on.
And these two are widely known as the two nicest people in the world.
Hey, Katie. Yeah, they're both extremely nice. Now, Nicole, the wife, is way nicer because Devin, who's also very nice, also, but he can be a bit of a smart ass.
Right.
Which some people think that that's not nice. I don't, you know me, I love it. So
I haven't been listening. I'm sorry.
I just got into it.
Okay.
But anyway, we saw them yesterday.
The neighbors.
Yeah, right. And I go, what are you guys going
to
do with
you
your.
You only bring me on when you want there to be an argument. Everyone thinks I'm a mean person and that all I do is yell, but you only bring me on in times where you're trying to piss me off.
Well, that's a completely different discussion. So by the way, you don't have to be in here for this, but I prefer that you
were. That's fine.
Maybe you can control your anger for once.
Did you see what Dr. Gill said?
No. What did he say?
So I posted the photo of the cutting board.
It's a good photo.
Jessica goes, that's a pretty sweet drink coaster.
That's going to be the... Yeah. That particular quote is going to be what got me in trouble. But anyway.
Well, Dr. Gill says, with her volatile temper, I'd keep Katie away from the knives. Katie goes, come again. He goes, admit it, Katie Robinson. Gramps is safer in Baltimore than Joe is at home.
Not bad, Dr. Gill. Yeah. If only you were that funny in real life on stage.
But Michael Hamm said, should say May 2nd, 2007 on it.
That's inside the ring.
No, so, we talked about it on the show.
So that's what I said. That's what's inside the ring.
Oh, I thought. And gotcha.
You mean like inside? No, yes. It's what's inside my ring. Anyway, so I said, what are you going to do with your fame? We talked, and I go, check out the quotes, the comments.
No.
Well, hold on. Can correct me if I look after a moment. So I go, hey, we post on Facebook. Check it out. Check out the comments. I go, Justin Schlegel said, that's a pretty sweet drink coaster.
Why would you do this?
Thank you.
You had gotten out. You were clear.
She walked out, and the first thing he said was, hey, listen, I'm really sorry about saying something about how small the coaster was. I thought it was really cool. Like, he was very straightforward.
Which I do love.
Right.
By the way, you know what Katie did today?
Stop interrupting me now.
She cut something on it today.
I did.
So I was trying to just help you. Go ahead.
Okay. So he says that to her. I was like, oh, that's really cool, right? And then he's like, yeah, everybody really, really liked the show. They thought it was really funny. There's even a picture up on the Facebook page. You just go look at it and read all the comments. They're just like, hey, this one says, look at this drink coaster. I'm like, now we've now readdressed the size of the cutting board once again, and it's back into her head.
It's in her head, and you know what? It's never going to leave. Like, she's always going to be second guessing. Well, maybe I guess I could have got a bigger one. You put her through this for no reason.
You know who? You know, like how people get the last word. Joe has to get the last joke. He has to. He couldn't just end it on a serious note. He had to bring something else into it.
Let me read you because I had a little back forth with Devin and Nicole. I want to read this to you.
I'm not on it.
No.
He's texting the couple without you.
Now you're group texting, and I'm not even on it.
So I texted them what J.L. Covan said, where he said, the cutting board segment was a Hall of Fame segment for the show. Two LOLs at work for me. I just sent that. I screen capped that, and I put, you're famous.
So that's positive.
Devin says, imagine how good the segment's going to be when we get you guys a giant cutting board. Nicole needs to redeem herself. Okay, so he's in on it, right?
Playing along.
And then I said, look, very nicely, we love the cutting board, which we do, right? And then Nicole said, ha ha, how pissed do you think Katie would be if we got you a giant cutting board that just said, I'm sorry? I said, by the way, so look, I'm not an idiot. I go, I legit would get a divorce, right? Then I put, great for the show, though. And she goes, ha ha, let us know if you're willing to take the risk. And I literally said, do not get us another cutting board. So I do get it, right? I do get that, you know, that was way over the line. And you're right, I probably shouldn't have said that.
This is the thing. As whatever on a 1 to 10 you feel about how bad what you said was, you feel much higher on the 1 to 10 of the entertainment and the humor.
Agreed.
We've gotten out of this. So
agreed.
You always take that. You always take an 8 out of 10 for humor versus a 3 out of 10 for you feeling bad about what you did.
You're right. But if I thought there was a real genuine risk of us having an issue with our neighbors, I don't think I would have done it.
Sometimes it's not about that, though.
Well, when I said,
I think it's just more of like, it's just what you don't do.
Well, when I said it, I immediately afterwards, not immediately, but I was like, that's probably over the line. That was probably over the line. So how do I deal with stuff like that? What am I going to do? Walk over there? Hey, guys, I'm really sorry. Then it's uncomfortable. The best way to deal with it is through this show,
yes.
Right? So, sorry, that's real. Me coming on here.
No, I get it.
That's all real, but what am I going to do? It's almost like when I'm mad at Robbie, I can't literally call him and be like, hey, let's have a heart-to-heart. I got to bring it out on this show.
Do you honestly think that they will ever get you a gift like that again that's heartfelt? Or are you going to be getting a gift card?
I think you're just going to get gag gifts now because they're just going to turn it on you.
I think Katie's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm not expecting any gifts from them.
I would, if I were her and it was me and it was reversed, I would be like very like paranoid about what I get next. Like, what am I going to is this going to be a whole nother segment about my gift again?
She's like, we need to spend $1,000 on this gift because
now, you know what? If just don't, no more gifts. It's
I
not
agree.
Worth it.
Stop getting us gifts. We should be getting them gifts.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's.
So the neighbor, this is a little. I'm changing the course. If Katie, if you have anything else you want to say to me about how horrible I am.
Or about your temper.
About
Katie,
how horrible you are.
What?
No. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're yelling at me again
Katie
right now.
Was saying before the show, she feels like, because we always bring her on to argue, that she's coming off as this angry person.
Right. Rob, would you agree? I'm not always angry. I'm an angrier person on the girl side of the spectrum, I guess. I probably lean more angry.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, you're dealing with Joe, so there's going to be who's not going to get angry?
Yeah, but I'm not on like the super happy side of the spectrum, right?
No, you're not.
Let me just say that Katie is not generally like this in real life, but she's almost always like this on the show, and I appreciate both sides of her. But when you're on the radio, the angry Katie's much more entertaining.
Well, yeah, I guess true. I can understand that. It would be boring if I just had nothing to say, I guess.
But it's sincere. You are mad.
Oh, no. I am genuinely upset when I'm upset on here.
It's my favorite Katie radio.
No offense. I'm not engaged enough to just be fake for bits on here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather be doing, like, laundry.
What's the chat saying?
Well, Matt Colby, it says, I'm still waiting for Joe to shit on my wedding gift. What did he get us? Do you know?
Oh, my gosh. I probably haven't even looked through all that stuff yet.
She's too busy being angry.
Yeah,
I hope it's a small cutting board.
Because Josh Spiegel got us a gift, and he goes, did you guys get my gift?
Well, his was a little different, but he had gotten us a gift on a registry that, like, Target gives you, like, a free registry, but I hadn't put it on my website registry. It's, like, really wedding talk.
You know
talk,
what but Josh got us, am I allowed to say? So
I don't...
I'm going to say. So
I don't feel... I don't really don't feel comfortable.
Okay. I won't say. Other than that he got us this. He got us this. It's Steph Curry's wife. Isn't that what he got us?
Yeah, I know. That. Alicia Curry. I don't forget her name.
He had us very, very nice.
Like pots and pans.
Oh,
they're real nice.
Nice. Yes.
Like really nice.
Yeah, it was a hookup.
Like way too nice.
Will you ever cook anything on them?
Oh,
I just cooked tonight in them.
Nice. What's Matt Colby? What did he say he got you?
It says, oh, he got us a swing. So we got two swinging
chairs. Yeah. Swings?
Hey, by the
way. That's badass.
Oh, no, I remember this now. I got the note. Yes. We just got the hardware for it.
To put it up.
To put them up.
Cool. In the thing, this is, there's nothing.
Who's going to put it up?
Obviously me.
But no, it doesn't look that difficult.
Although, Joe, I ordered the parts. I'm setting it up.
Yeah, I trust Katie on this.
But when you look at it, it basically has, it's like a strap that goes, it's going to hang over
the beam
on the deck. And then there's one of those, you know, like a Free Solo would use if he was.
A carabiner.
That's it. And then, right.
Free Solo.
And then, well, actually.
Free Solo wouldn't use it.
Yeah, wouldn't use
continue.
It, right? And then there's a rope and it's like 5 feet long. So. It's definitely too long.
Are you?
It's not too long. If anything, it's too short. Listen, I got it. Okay,
it's too long.
I took care of it.
Are you two going to make sweet love in these?
No,
swings?
It's out in public. I don't think.
At night with a blanket.
I don't. We're not going out there. He doesn't go out there at night and.
You
sit
won't
with a
have
blanket.
Sex out there.
Didn't we talk about this? Joe is not the most romantic.
Was that romantic banging on a swing outside?
That does sound more
sitting
like
sitting outside with a blanket sounds romantic.
Well, I don't want to.
I don't want to get arrested, right? Kate, let me tell you what else I did real quick, and then you can, if you want.
You can just cover yourself with that cutting board.
So,
are we going to fight?
No, this won't make. No, you're going to know that this is an issue. So, the other neighbor, Ryan, okay, the one who I yelled at his kid, right?
Yes. Just
so,
making friends, Joe.
He came over yesterday, and we were hanging out smoking cigars. And he came over, and he had a wire brush with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I go, what's that wire brush for? He goes, oh, well, the community association said that I had rust on my, what do you call it?
I don't know. Grill thing.
No, the...
Vent.
What's the matter with me? The railing.
Gutter?
The railing to go up your stairs, and they said I had to take care of it. And I go, oh. And I go, that's weird, because our neighbors, same neighbors, they got a letter, too, about such and such. So we have a discussion about it. I'm not kidding.
It's the next discussion.
Like, there's one discussion in between, and then I go, what are you doing with that wire brush? I fucking forget.
Hey, it was actually, like... I thought for a second he might have had a stroke. I like got pissed off. I was like, he just told you.
He told me again. I go, oh, yeah, you just told me that.
Wow.
I literally forgot after 180 seconds. Now, we talked about this like 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago. I forgot one of my good friend's names, Sean Gabbard. Forgot his name on stage. So I'm starting to worry. Legitimately.
Yeah, I've worried too. I bought some memory pills on Amazon.
Is that real? Or
is that real?
Snake oil.
I don't think memory pills are real. I think you guys need to drink
vitamins are real.
Hear me out. You need to drink more water.
I drink a lot of water.
Okay.
I don't.
More water, less alcohol, less coffee. Those are the two things. Okay. All right. Also need to work out and do cardio and
I don't do that
more often. And you need to continue to, like, you know, do mind tricks, do trivia, you need to keep yourself, you know, read books, things like that.
So I
less cell phone right in your face all the time.
I probably should, but remember when the cell phone's in my face, I'm reading.
You're
reading tweets.
Most of the time you're playing cribbage.
No, I don't play cribbage anymore. I play spades, but.
I play this word game. Does that count?
That does, probably.
Yeah.
But I'm on Twitter a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys, like, I think staring at a screen, I don't know enough science about it, but, I mean, it's bad.
Matt Colby says, if Rob thinks memory pills are real, I've got something to sell him. Gramp said Joe sounds like me.
Laugh. You don't think there's vitamins that help with your memory?
No, there's I bought him Centrum Silver.
She did, and I take them every day. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't make a difference. For me, I need to use my CPAP. 100%. That's what I need to do. Right. So I'm going to start using that. I'm going to use it tonight. And I got to use it because if not, I might not die, but you know, I'm gonna be like, who's that girl?
I'm going to be pissed if I have to remind you shit all the time.
Well, you have to do that now. So.
Yeah, I guess so.
So Angry Katie is our favorite podcast, Katie. You know what's number two is porn watching Katie. I miss that Katie.
Where'd she go? She's gone.
Oh, she's long gone. She got married.
So the married Katie no longer watching porn once every 2 weeks?
Honestly, I'm just getting back into my routine. I was sick and I was away and everything. So we have been married 3 weeks officially a couple days ago. So
you made it this
far. It's going well.
Well, I hope so. I hope it's still going
well.
As well
as it can go.
Yes. Really? I think it probably could go better. There's been 7 fights with neighbors.
Actually, we've only had...
The day we got back from our honeymoon was one of the maddest I've been at Joe in years.
Yeah, you're talking about the cutting board. Yeah, that's the most mad
cutting
she's been
board gate is like the most pissed I've been.
Yeah, we're not going to celebrate our anniversary. We're going to try to forget Cutting Board Day.
Yeah.
They're equally as important.
CBD.
So we have an issue with our chat room that's going to be... We're going to have to move to a new chat room in the coming weeks, Robbie. Is that correct?
We are working on it. It should be in place around next Monday. So we're going to wait a week, make sure we have it working and tested, and we're going to... hopefully have a new chat 2 weeks from today, and next week we will not be live.
Who's going to explain this to Gramps?
We took Gramps out for Father's Day on Tuesday because that's the day both my sons were available. Mm-hmm. And how many times do you think he asked me about the chat?
Three times.
Exactly. You were there. 3 times he asked me about the chat. He was very concerned about the chat. So
As he should be. I mean, the chat's got it. Without Gramps, it's not the same.
Guys, it's 2019. It should really be nothing.
It doesn't seem like it'd be that hard to get another chat room.
What do we know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I wouldn't know, but it doesn't seem like it.
It is not difficult, but that... part of our website where people go and they can listen and chat at the same time is not controlled by me.
Can I say something? I was listening earlier when you were talking about this guy before you talked to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, we just heard, you know, he's just some kid and we looked him up. I'm like, yeah, those are the people you want to get involved with. Old people don't know how to do anything cool like documentaries and things like that.
Yes,
a young kid is approaching you to do something like that, yes, those are exactly the kind of person that you should want to get involved with.
Hey, we've moved on from that break.
Okay. Fuck off. Fuck off, Joe.
Katie's telling you you have to hang out with younger people. I think you've proven that. You went to Cancun and said, people. I do. Oh, Katie's not angry, just only when we do the show. All right, I guess we're done. Come to Magoobies this week.
Listen to 98 Rock this week.
Listen to 98 Rock. Anything else to plug?
No, next month we're at the DC Improv with Hit Me 90s One More Time.
Yep, July 21st.
That'll sell out, so if you want to go, you should start looking now at tickets.
Yep. Later, guys.
Later. You didn't like my tweet when I said if you could go back in time, would you kill Hitler or Drake? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Did Drake do something other than just normal? I thought maybe he did something specific.
Everybody just hates him.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty proud of that.
What are you doing for 4th of July?
I think we're gonna go watch fireworks at my brother-in-law's and sister-in-law's and take Oscar.
Well, that sounds like fun.
He loves fireworks.
You know that.
He's going to love them.
How about those Orioles?
They won not yesterday, but the day before. So they're actually 1-2, which is pretty fucking amazing.
Oh, that's
but
good.
Do know they're on a pace to be worse than last year, right?
Well, because I almost brought this up with Keith, but I mean, we all said that they couldn't be worse, but their team's a lot worse on paper.
Yeah, it's
we just
way
assume
worse.
Because it's impossible to be that bad again.
Their Vegas line for losses or wins was the lowest in history of the 662 game season. Nobody's ever been lower, and they're 13 games behind it.
Baseball is the worst sport to be bad in because you don't have that. Oh, we got the number one pick.
It's something. Every day, right? Yeah. And that, by the way, they got the
yeah. But it's like it doesn't. Yeah, yeah.
But you got one great player. We had Manny Machado who fucking didn't do any. Well, I guess we were good, but it wasn't because of him. It was partially because of him, but we had a good team around him.
Of all the sports, the number one pick. That's the one that carries the least amount.
Yeah, and basketball is the most, right?
Well, football, if it's a quarterback.
Right, but still.
The following program is brought to you by More Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.